Hello, I'm Montse Alvarado. Welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
We're just elated that this heartbeat protection law has gone into effect, and it's going to save more lives and souls.
Florida legislation protecting the unborn takes effect.
It was a historic day that marked an enormous victory for human rights.
But upcoming elections could change that.
What this ballot initiative would do would wipe out the parental consent laws that are on the books right now.
How the state and church are working to counter the pro-abortion narrative.
The miracles that happen every day is truly a blessing to be part of this organization.
And on the front lines of helping mothers choose life, the work of the largest network of pro-life pregnancy clinics in Florida.
As of this morning, 4 million women in this state woke up with fewer reproductive freedoms than they had last night.
We do know that the heart begins beating between 18 to 21 days after conception, and then it's detectable by ultrasound right around 6 weeks. And so that's why it's the heartbeat protection law.
Florida's Heartbeat Protection Act is now law, officially taking effect on Wednesday. It drew praise from pro-life advocates. The Biden administration using the moment to further their presidential campaign with Vice President Kamala Harris in Florida that same day.
Across our nation, we witness a full-on assault, state by state, on reproductive freedom. And understand who is to blame. Former President Donald Trump did this.
The heartbeat protection law makes Florida one of the most life-affirming states in the union. It bans abortion after 6 weeks, with exceptions if the life of the mother is at risk. Victims of rape, incest, or human trafficking can still get an abortion up to 15 weeks if the woman provides a police report, medical record, or restraining order. The law bans the prescription of both physical and chemical abortions by telehealth. Medication for abortions must be dispensed by a physician and not through the mail. Jason Weida, Secretary of Florida's Agency for Healthcare Administration, joins us now to talk about the new heartbeat law. Jason, thank you for joining us. Before we talk about the heartbeat law, let's go into what's going on with this ballot initiative. Abortion is on the ballot in November, and it's deceptively worded. Historically, abortion support has done well when put into a vote in other states. What can you tell us about your efforts to counter that pro-abortion initiative?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. The abortion ballot initiative is confusing and misleading. It's written in a way to make it sound pro-life, when in fact, it's not. What it would provide for is abortions up until the moment of birth. It would provide for abortions on demand, and that is too extreme for Florida. The second point I want to make about the ballot initiative is that it would infringe on parental rights. Governor DeSantis has led the charge to make sure that parents have a say in upbringing their children. And what this ballot initiative would do would wipe out the parental consent laws that are on the books right now. And third, I think that we're in a really good position in Florida to see this ballot initiative defeated. Other states may not have been as successful, but Florida has a significant advantage with Governor DeSantis's leadership bringing over Republican voters in the state. So we're very optimistic about November.
Well, you've got a new fact sheet that you've put out. I think it's myth versus fact. Talk to us about what's on there and how you're using that to counter the aggressive pro-abortion lobbying efforts.
Well, we felt like this myth versus fact sheet was necessary because of the misleading statements and outright lies that you see the left promoting about abortion, and also the mainstream media continuing to promote this as part of its narrative. They say that women won't be able to access health care. That's a lie. Florida is committed to supporting life, is comprehensively pro-life, and will provide resources not only to pregnant mothers, not only to support them with their unborn children, but also children, adolescents, and into adulthood. You also hear people talking about women being jailed. That's a lie. Nothing in the Heartbeat Protection Act provides for any criminal charges against women going through these circumstances. You also hear outright lies regarding women not knowing that they're pregnant. That's not true. Pregnancy tests have advanced quite a bit over the years, and there's more than enough time for women to find out whether they're pregnant or not within that period of time. So we felt it was very important to correct some of these lies that are being promoted throughout the mainstream media to make sure that the public got the truth about what this act does and how it protects women, the lives of women and their life in these life-threatening circumstances, and also unborn children.
So do you actually think that you'll be able to beat this and set a new precedent for those who have lost their initiatives around the country over the last 2 years?
Well, we're optimistic, as I said, and, you know, take Ohio, for example. The Ohio initiative passed by, I think it was about 57%. Now, the laws in Florida are a little bit different. In order for this ballot initiative to succeed in Florida, the pro-abortion left would need to get 60% of the vote. So if that ballot initiative had been had taken place in Florida, they would have lost. And also, there's a significant difference between the electorate in Ohio and in Florida. I think Ohio has about a 4 to 6 point Republican advantage. Now, in Florida, we're anticipating about a 10 point Republican advantage in Florida. So we think that Florida is well positioned to defeat this ballot initiative come November.
Well, let's talk about this heartbeat law that came into effect on May 1st. This law also increases funding for pregnancy centers from roughly $4 million up to $25 million. How do CPCs have access to that money, and what will it do?
Well, there's a number of agencies that are involved in this process. So I run the Agency for Healthcare Administration. I work very closely with my peers in the Department of Health and other agencies, and we're all going to have a role to play in making sure that these funds are distributed to the centers to make sure that they're providing care and resources to pregnant women. But there's a number of resources available to women. It's not just the Heartbeat Protection Act, although that's an important piece. There's also resources available through the Department of Health. Surgeon General Joe Latipo is in charge of that department, does a great job over there. He's going to be part of this solution. Also, the First Ladies Initiative in Hope, Florida, which is a really important part of what the state is doing. And that, too, will provide resources to women who are facing this situation. So we take, as I said, a comprehensive approach to protecting life, and we are comprehensively pro-life. And I think that you see that in all the measures and initiatives that we've done, from the Heartbeat Protection Act to the resources available at ACA and the Department of Health and the resources available in Hope, Florida.
Well, there's also a new part of that law, which is banning the most common form of abortion, the abortion pill. Abortion pill prescriptions brought through the mail in Florida are not legal anymore. How are you regulating out-of-state prescriptions coming in through the mail?
So we're taking a very close look at that. It's something that the Biden administration has been really promoting. And we're coming down hard on pharmacies and other folks that are going to make this available contrary to the law. We expect our providers in this state to comply with the law, and we're going to be rigorously enforcing that.
Well, Jason, thank you so much. We'll be praying for your efforts in November and for the success of this six-week ban.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
There are many resources for women in Florida. In the Archdiocese of Miami, they own and operate 3 pregnancy centers, 2 in Broward County and 1 in Miami-Dade County.
We offer free and confidential services, so we can verify the pregnancy with a free pregnancy test, a free limited ultrasound, and then show them, you know, what we can do to accompany them. Because so the other side portrays us as, you know, you're just for the baby in the womb, but our programs walk the journey with men and women and their families until the baby is 2 years old. And then we have lots of connections in the community where we can refer them on afterwards should they still need help and assistance.
The Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops is also working to promote a culture of life, particularly with the upcoming ballot initiative. Amendment 4 would establish a constitutional right to abortion before fetal viability if passed.
The conference is working at the diocesan level, and we have been working with the Culture of Life directors on grassroots efforts to defeat the amendment. which will provide pastors and parishes the resources for communication to the parishioners regarding this extreme and the deceptive nature of the amendment.
Arizona's Senate voted to repeal the state's abortion law on Wednesday. The law banned most abortions except to save a patient's life. Two Republicans joined 14 Democrats in the minority, and the bill passed 16 to 14. Once signed by Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs, the 2022 statute banning abortion after 15 weeks will become state law. But that legislation won't take effect for several months. Kansas GOP majority legislators enacted four pro-life bills on Monday, overriding the Democratic governor's vetoes of the measures. The bills allocate $2 million in state funding for pro-life crisis pregnancy centers, provide tax credits for donations to these centers, and require abortion facilities to ask women why they're having an abortion, and creates a new crime of coercing a woman to have any abortions. They take effect on July 1st. Abortion is legal in Kansas up to 22 weeks. Oklahoma is receiving support in its lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. A 24-state coalition, including Texas, Florida, and Idaho, to name a few, filed an amicus brief supporting Oklahoma's defense of its Title X-funded family health program. Oklahoma received millions in federal funding for 40 years to provide cancer screening, pregnancy testing, prevention, depression, and breast exams. But HHS slashed the $4.5 million in funding because Oklahoma does not refer for abortions. The Oklahoma Attorney General says that decision is hurting women.
So the loser is the recipient, former recipient of those federal dollars, which impacts, you know, women with less financial capacity. So Oklahoma's unborn children are being penalized because of the political decisions of the Biden administration. They are the victims, and we're trying to right them.
Oral argument in the Oklahoma case will be heard on May 31st. HHS also terminated Tennessee's 50-year program. That state has filed a similar lawsuit. We're seeing the issue of abortion dominate political campaigns. A Quinnipiac University poll finds that support for legal abortion is at the highest level in two decades of their polling. Two-thirds of voters, 66%, think abortion should be legal in either all or most cases. That is broken up to 34% supporting all cases of abortion and 32% for most cases. On the flip side, 27% of voters think abortion should be illegal. Of that number, 5% believe it should be illegal in all cases. 22% believe it should be illegal in most cases. That 5% is a record low for the Quinnipiac polling history. EWTN News is tracking the ongoing changes in abortion laws across the United States. Take a look at our interactive map on the laws and what states are going to have abortion on the ballot by visiting CatholicNewsAgency.com. Thousands of lives saved thanks to the largest network of pro-life pregnancy centers in the state of Florida. Community pregnancy clinics just celebrated their 50th anniversary of providing care and resources for pregnant women. Many of those women have nowhere else to turn. Their services are free, so the mothers that come to them don't feel burdened or scared that they can't afford to get the help that they and their babies really need. Scott Beyer, the CEO of Community Pregnancy Clinics, is leading the charge for this important network of life-affirming clinics. Scott, welcome to our show. You actually aim to reach out to those women who are abortion-minded, something that is a little different from other centers. Tell us about how you do that.
Yes, thank you for having me. So we have a real focus to find those women who are abortion-minded, abortion-vulnerable, and even abortion-determined. So we serve all populations. We serve those who are likely to carry, but our effort is to reach out and not wait for them to come to us, but to go out into the highways and byways, to go in front of Planned Parenthoods with our mobile units, to go to the universities, to really be where abortion-minded women are, and they usually range from 18 to 24-year-olds. We know the opposition, 8 out of 10 abortion clinics are within walking distance of a college or university. So we really do have a push to go out to where those women are, and also through technology, right? We have to utilize the resources at hand. So we invest heavily in our Google ad campaigns, again, to reach them where they're at, and that's often on their phones.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about those two mobile clinics that you just mentioned. You have them in neighborhoods without medical services nearby. So they call them healthcare deserts, right? I'm sure that a mobile clinic there is vital. How are the routes for your mobile clinics then chosen?
Yes. So we actually we're incorporating a new system this summer, actually, through what's known as ICU Mobile. And they actually have a demographic analysis program, software program, to help us study the demographic areas of where, again, abortion-minded, abortion-vulnerable women are, and where there isn't a pro-life pregnancy center like ours throughout the state. We can't be everywhere. But the mobile unit allows us to go out, again, to the highways and byways and reach those women who are so vulnerable, who often don't know what resources are available to them. And so we're there to try to provide those opportunities for them.
And where are you seeing the most demand in the state of Florida for your services?
Yes, again, I focus on the colleges and universities because many people don't realize still today in the state of Florida, we have one of the highest rates of abortion in the country. And that's largely due to the university systems that are some of the largest in the country with hundreds of thousands of men and women who are attending our universities. So our abortion rate is high because of those colleges and universities. And so not only are we trying to get there after the crisis happens, right, to provide support and our loving care, compassion and choices, but also we have our SHARE program, which stands for Sexual Health and Relationship Education, where we're putting speakers into the middle schools, high schools, and on college campuses to deliver the message of sexual integrity so that hopefully we can help prevent those unwanted pregnancies by helping men and women make better choices.
And well, you've got these educational programs, which are very important, but talk to me about the services that you provide. You're on college campuses and elsewhere with your mobile clinic. What are you actually doing for those women?
Yeah, thank you. Similar to the what's about 3,300 other pregnancy resource centers around the country, we provide, obviously, pregnancy tests, STI, sexually transmitted infection testing, APR, abortion pill reversal possibilities for those who unfortunately take the chemical abortion pill. But also our counseling and referral services are so important. Again, so many women don't know what the resources are available to them, and many have said, recent study showed that 60% of women who chose abortion would have chosen life if they had more emotional or financial support. And so really one of our main goals is to connect them, the men and women, to the resources that are already available to them. You know, we'll provide resources for up to 3 years, or what we call gifted necessities. But so often, you know, we can't do it all. So we refer them to the local churches, counseling centers, maternity homes, job placement centers, all these resources that are really available to them. But again, in their tunnel vision and their limited knowledge of what's available to them, you know, we're there to open up those avenues and those doors.
You said you just refer people to churches. How is the faith incorporated into the work of community pregnancy clinics?
Yeah, so what we'll do is, respecting wherever they're coming from, we kind of meet them where they're at in the counseling room. Of course, we're going to offer them the chance to either pray for them or pray with them, which so many do, you know, take us up on that offer. And then as we walk with them through the process of them hopefully choosing life, again, we open up the avenues of faith, again, resources, local churches that are available to kind of step in. We have our own mentor, volunteer mentors, who walk with them and can lead them through the faith journey as well as they're choosing the medical mercy option that we offer. So it's really a comprehensive model. We like to say that we're the hands and the heart and the feet and the voice of Christ, as the church is called to be.
That's beautiful. Well, obviously, you've been doing this for a long time all over the state of Florida. Your clinics have grown from a small number to now just really reaching everywhere across the state. Talk to me about what you've learned. What are the lessons that you've learned in working for such a long time?
Yes, I think I've been doing this now for 3 years. We've been around for 50, so I'm kind of one of the new kids on the block. But one of the main things I've learned, you know, we have a lot of baby saved, you know, and those statistics we're proud of, and that's all great. But really, it's the stories of the men and women that we serve. You know, we like to say, and I've found that unless, in this case, a woman feels lovable, she's not love-able. And so often they want to choose life. They just feel maybe abortion is the only option until, again, they see the resources, they feel the love. And when I see those stories of people who come back to us, you know, I always say I've never heard a woman who chose life regret that decision. Unfortunately, we have those who have chosen abortion who come back to us because they felt the love prior to that choice. Maybe they're pregnant again, but they felt the love from before. And that love, as we know, God is love. So it transforms lives. And to see that, the miracles that happen every day is truly a blessing to be part of this organization and this movement.
Well, Scott, I know you've only been there 3 years, but how many clinics do you actually have in the state of Florida?
Yes, yeah, so we have five current office clinics and those two mobile clinics. And we're expanding with our SHARE program, as I mentioned before, to be really present in the state of Florida, to be a true presence, to hopefully lower that abortion rate, but also just to help as many women. You know, with our six-week ban that just came into effect yesterday, and with Amendment 4, which could be another show, right, to talk about some of the terrible amendments that are being proposed around the country. Our efforts are needed more than ever to get to the men and women sooner with those loving resources.
Right, to provide the education and the resources they need. Well, Scott, thank you so much for the work you do.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
God bless you. To learn more about the work of community pregnancy clinics in Florida and to find out how you can get involved, visit supportcpci.com. Coming up, in one of the most pro-abortion states in the country, voices are raised for the voiceless in a march for life. Plus, a famed video on how babies grow in the womb is adopted as mandatory viewing in schools in another state. That and more when we return. Stay with us. In St. Augustine, Florida, a solemn place to remember the lives of stillborn babies, those lost through miscarriage or sudden infant death syndrome. Bishop Eric Pohlmeier dedicated the 44,000-pound granite Precious Ones baby mausoleum in San Lorenzo Cemetery last week. It has 12 empty crypts, each named for a saint, that can fit the remains of many babies because they're so small. Miscarriages especially are not always acknowledged as a heartbreaking loss. Parents often have to request the remains from the hospital, and in some hospitals, the remains are treated as medical waste and incinerated.
Many, many couples experience that loss. So because of our culture not valuing the gift of life that we should, in many cases, the pain of that loss is made worse by hospitals or even doctors that don't treasure that gift because it isn't very far developed.
The diocese built relationships with local funeral homes and hospitals so that couples can hear about the mausoleum. Any couple, regardless of their faith, can have their child buried there at no cost. About 10 to 20% of pregnancies end in a miscarriage, according to the Mayo Clinic. More than 20,000 babies are stillborn every year in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease Control. And there are more than 3,000 reported cases of sudden infant death syndrome. The governor of Tennessee is requiring schools to include a fetal development video to be viewed in most counties under a new bill he signed into law on Tuesday. The famed Baby Olivia video produced by the pro-life group Live Action is a three-minute computer-generated depiction of how a baby grows in the womb. It was reviewed and certified by leading OBGYNs, including those associated with pro-life OBGYNs or APLOG. Similar legislation has passed or is being considered in Missouri, North Dakota, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Iowa. As the national focus on the moral and legal concerns of in vitro fertilization, or IVF, grows, there's new data indicating a rise in the number of babies born from the procedure. According to the Society for Assisted Reproductive Technology, from 2021 to 2022, there was an increase from 89,000 babies born as a result of IVF to more than 91,000. That means that 2.5% of all births in the United States are a result of assisted reproductive technology, according to this society. IVF has become a hot-button issue after the state of Alabama's Supreme Court ruled that the embryos created through the procedure are children and deserve the same protections under state law. The Catholic Church condemns the practice of IVF as it treats children as a commodity, but does recognize the personhood of these embryos. Sidewalk Advocates for Life, an organization that provides information for pregnant women outside abortion clinics, is celebrating more than 22,000 lives saved in the 10 years it's been operating. The organization says there are 777 abortion and abortion referral facilities in the United States, and that they have covered 34% of them with peaceful, prayerful sidewalk outreach to help women going in for an abortion understand her options for life. In Sacramento, California, pro-lifers took part in a March for Life at the state capitol. A large banner displayed across participants as they made their way to the state capitol building downtown. Women, men, and children took part. The day started with a prayer breakfast and prayer walk before the march. Abortion is written into the California state constitution as a right and is legal until viability around 22 weeks. That does it for this edition of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. If you're interested in more pro-life news, sign up for our newsletter, The Pro-Life Pulse. Visit EWTN.com/pro-life. Remember, life is a gift. Your life is a gift. God bless.